Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my lovely co-host, Veronica Entwistle. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie. Good evening, everyone.
Yes, good evening. So tonight we've got a fascinating show, Toxic Relationships. Love this one.
We have a toxic show.
Yeah, projections of mom and dad and the relationships that never give us what we really want. And this one is very personal to me. It's taken me on a real roller coaster ride, so I'll share my story tonight. Anyway, the piece that came through said, "Are you trying to get your father's attention? It may not literally be in the form of your physical father, but rather someone who acts like him, who stands in allegiance to people who are toxic to you, and who doesn't ever quite give you what you want. I wonder how you would analyze the situation in that case." So, we're going to venture into a very complex issue that creates, hopefully, freedom for us all. This is all about our freedom and finally our ability to claim our sovereignty and make choices that support who we really are instead of acting from poisonous projections and personality drives, and subconscious drives, not personality drives. So, let's, this is a big one. Show dedication to our continued support for all of humanity as we move through these very challenging energetic times, ups and downs, surprises, breakdowns, mechanical and emotional. Imagine how difficult it is for humans to understand what's happening in a world where everything is changing and so many of them don't know where to turn for understanding and support. We're here to hold the energy of love and safety for all those that are struggling, wandering, wondering, and worrying. Holding the energy of love for all of humanity, it's our job. It's what we really agreed to come in and do. To hold the energy of elegance and ease, awakening and assistance for all of humanity. So I hope you'll join me in that this coming week because it's so big. So, that was a lot. And the energies have been just a delight, haven't they, Veronica?
Yeah, they have. Rapid change. Rapid change is what I'm experiencing a lot.
Oh, my Lord. You know, I'm getting up at 4 in the morning these days just to have peace. I go sit on the patio, turn on the fan and my little lights over the patio, you know, over the table, and I read and I meditate and I contemplate, and you know, I get to watch the magic of sunrise, and I just think this is so peaceful. And you know, for that little time, nobody bothers me.
You still have a full house?
No, I just have my son for now. Well, we have more company coming this weekend, so it's been hotel Jackie, and literally. So let's talk about the intensive. There are some things I really need to bring up about this. October 9th and 10th, I sent out the announcement. I'm going to send out a follow-up announcement to all those who've signed up for the newsletter. I'll actually send it out to the whole mailing list. If you've signed up for the newsletters, if you have not signed up for to receive newsletters, you will not get the announcement. That's because it goes into my system. I can't just add your email. You have to do it. If you are planning on attending, it's very important that you reserve your rooms. They're anticipating a lot of people in that weekend. And if you are planning on attending, please send me an email with a photo if you can. If you have one that you can send via email, your name, address, phone number, and date of birth, and deposits can be made on the website through PayPal. There's a PayPal link on there, or you can send a check to my address on the website. I started doing the music for the intensive this weekend, and as soon as I start doing the music, for those who've not been to one of the intensives, last intensive there were like 57 pieces of music. for the meditations and the experiences. And the music, it's very hard for me to explain a preparation for an intensive because I don't have somebody to, you know, do it with or whatever. So it's a very integrative process between myself and the team. And it, for me, this one is incredibly emotional. And, Veronica, you've gotten phone calls from me when I was doing the last one. You know, I got so excited. This one is unbelievably emotional. And they kind of gave me the outline. And I have to tell you, in between crying, I just went outside and sat on the patio in the heat of day just to kind of integrate what we'll be doing. And the honor that is being held for us to do this is unbelievably extraordinary. And I want to say to any of you that decide to come, you will carry the colors and tones of this experience for eternity. There has never been a Stargate created this way on any planet through the intentionality of the populace of that planet, who are moving where we are from third into fourth into fifth. We have total protection, and we have, you know, normally I would say, well, this is who wants to come through and so on. I'm not going to say that this time because I'm still trying to integrate myself that this is all going to happen and what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. And it's actually kind of a lot for me even to swallow. And Veronica, you know me well. I can handle, you know, I just pretty much handle anything. This one really got me. This one was, you know, I spent the whole afternoon going, are you sure, you know, are we really going to do this, you know? I will just say that we will be meeting with the high councils of specific planets. There is a chain of permission, federation of worlds and different councils, but there's so much more than that I probably will never talk about it prior to the intensive, only because, you know, in the last intensive, you know, Christ came through and kind of took over. This one, this is different. This is way bigger than what, you know, I'm having to work with my own sense of, I don't even know how to give language to this. It's like, okay, I'm willing, but, you know, can I? You know, I do understand, and the first thing that hit me was now I understand why they wanted me to get strong, why I've been absolutely pushed daily to exercise, push my body. No wine, you know, I mean, it's just been really funny. And I think a week ago I had some wine, and it was like poison to my body. It was like, oh, my God. So I got it loud and clear that I don't get to. One person I talked to this week said that, you know, they're coming, and they've been given instructions, and they've been working, Isis and Osiris have been coming into their meditations, working with the stones and their chakras that they got through a session with us. And this is really, I know I've been worked with constantly in preparation for this, and I know other people, you know, that have said they're coming are really having major experiences. So whoever's coming, the reason it's important to let me know is so that the team can be doing work with you prior to, because this is going to take upgrading on in major ways. I will say this much. When you leave this intensive, there will be no question in your mind who you are and that, in fact, you can affect change on this planet in ways that you never imagined possible. That,
wonderful.
I promise you. Yeah, that's big.
Wonderful.
Okay. Whew. anyway, the details of the intensive are on the website under events, and so if you, you know, have any interest, you can look on the website. Everything's there. And as far as the music, oh my God, that's all I can say. And the team somehow finds these things. I don't, you know, I can never explain this process because it's so organic. So let's talk about tonight's subject, because this is really, really big, I think. It certainly has been huge for me. So I'm going to kind of share my own story. And I want you to know, sometimes it's difficult for me to share these. It's twofold. I think part of my path has been to have these kind of exaggerated experiences so that people could pull things out. I certainly hope that's the reason, because if it's just because I'm a screw-up, I'm in big trouble. And also, this quote about, are you trying to get your father's attention, came from an astrological forecast that Squirrel, bless Squirrel Rourke, who I adore, sends these out. A lot of people who are at the intensive are also getting them directly now instead of just through the newsletter. And she sent this out, and I happened to read it. And this statement hit me so hard that it was like somebody threw ice water in my face. And I literally had the epiphany of all epiphanies. It was shocking. It was mind-boggling for me. It was, thank heaven I'm not one to lament over time wasted, because I think I would have slashed my wrist. I want everybody to really be clear, too, that this can apply to mom or dad and applies to all the things we've talked about regarding projections and the mainframe of mom and dad, God and goddess. I've often talked about the love of my life and that he recently contacted me again. And, of course, he told me things I've waited to hear for 20 years. Duh. And as always, I patiently wait for him to figure it all out in this lifetime. And, of course, we're having other lifetimes that are very significant, you know, where he's a different person, thank heaven. But I instantly recognized him in this statement. And it just was kind of like an avalanche of energy that hit me. And the history that completely unseated me. And because it wasn't just him, it was my whole history. My father left when I was 5, and I waited all my young life through foster homes and everywhere I went, waiting for him to come and save me, come back and get me. I used to dream in one foster home that I'd sit on the bed and pretend that he was coming to get me in a hot air balloon, you know, and take me away from this horrible place I was living. And, I mean, and all this kind of came flooding in a matter of minutes. From there, I married a man. I won't even count my first little marriage because it isn't. I married a man. For 20 years, I waited for him to. There was this very interesting dynamic. I was very much in love with him, but he had this sexual dynamic that was very interesting, where, going back to the statement, never get what you really want, he used sexual intimacy as a tool with me. And so, you know, I used to joke with everybody that if I got it once a month, I was really lucky. So I spent 20 years basically waiting to get laid. And I have to laugh about it because, and we worked together, you know, we lived together, we worked together, we built a huge company together. And it was very, very interesting, but I really had no other frame of reference. I didn't come because of my exposure and I had no family. There was no one and I could really talk to and say, you know, is this normal? Hello. And then I met what I call the love of my life. And while I was sitting there, as all this was running through me, I realized even when I was with him, he never really gave me what I wanted. And he wasn't capable of it. And what's so interesting is that I have spent the last 16 years at a subconscious drive waiting for him to get it. I've not been able to allow anybody else in. And I used to laugh about the fact that short of an exorcism, I was never going to get him out of my life because he was it. So what I have done is projected Dad onto my husband and onto RM, the love of my life, and continued. I've spent my whole life waiting, which I was fascinated by. Absolutely. From the time I was 5 until now, waiting for the love of my, you know, the father figure to be what it was I really needed them to be. Now, shame on me.
Is it shame on you, or is that what human nature kind of does until they
What happens, and you know, we've talked about projections and drives, you know, when we do the power retrievals and so on, we're working at the level of imprints, drives, projections. These are all really big issues. What's so fascinating to me, Veronica, is I do this work every freaking day. And yet, I never got this piece. Obviously, I wasn't ready till now. That's the way I have to look at it, because bottom line was, when it came in, it was like somebody just split me wide open. And I went into immediate detox, like you can't believe. And I found it absolutely fascinating, the freedom that it gave me. In terms of the fact that what I have been willing to put up with, tolerate, et cetera, in my experiences with these men, where, and I've gotten bits and pieces of it, but I never got it to this degree. And I guess, you know, when we're ready, the information comes in a way that we can really integrate it. I just considered this a gift from the universe and let it go at that. But for all of you, this can apply to women as well as it can apply to mother projections. And, okay, what I got while I was putting the show together is I'd done the same thing with my mother. I waited all my life, I thought, before she would die, she would get it, you know, and at least have a meeting with me and say, okay, honey, I really do love you, even though I've disowned you and shipped you off to foster homes and so on. And, of course, that never happened. But I didn't realize that I also had waited for her. So I find this very interesting, and I think that we see this in so many relationships, Veronica, where we're still playing out the dynamics, and it's the toxic part. This is the one that really got me. The relationships that never really give us what we want.
Right.
And I just felt that this was so incredibly profound. And it has opened me up to a whole new way of looking at myself as well as everything else. It's just like throwing off shackles and saying, wait a minute, I know who I am, I know my value, but it was like this whole thing was woven in to the point where I couldn't break out of it. And I've been so busy, it really didn't matter, because where was I going? However, our job is to be free, and I got great clarity that before the intensive, I had to break through this one in order to have the presence to be able to do what I'm being asked to do. So for all of you, and you know, we play these things out. What's so interesting to me in all the work I've done, and Veronica, I know all the work you do, we see these dynamics in people's relationships, be it with children, spouses, lovers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, whoever, where there is still this peace where people are having great difficulty understanding why, after years of being married, they're still having these problems, or years of not being married and yet afraid to enter into another relationship, mainly because the fear is that they will recreate the same kind of toxic relationships they've had in the past. Once we understand it, everything starts to kind of unweave.
But I find it curls back up, and when you least expect, I think probably we get relatively clear, and then zip, up comes from the subconscious or the karmic level or something, and boom. That's been my experience.
Well, it doesn't mean that it's gone forever, and it doesn't mean that we don't have to be diligent all the time.
Right.
In my case, it was like a plexiglass. My girlfriend's husband always said, Jackie, you've got a plexiglass shield around you. Men come in and they bounce right off. And it was true. And I didn't see it, but certainly he did as the observer, and we were all very, very close. And I think that...
Did you melt that now?
Oh, I have to tell you that the clarity I have right now, I've waited 20 years for this clarity, just in this last experience, to be absolutely positively clear that there is no way in hell I would step back into, certainly not with what I have called the love of my life, because in reality, that was the most toxic relationship. Well, they were all toxic, but basically, even when we were together, he was incapable of giving me what I needed. Why would I step back into a toxic relationship like that at this stage of my growth, my evolution?
Is it a reflection of the fact that you couldn't actually know what you needed? What I mean is, what's the growing part of you? You know what I mean? Like, some of our needs came from keeping ourselves in the box when we were young as well, huh? Or being in rebellion.
I don't know. When I look at my own experience, my own program,
mm-hmm.
It was so deeply ingrained, okay, that I found that I was still trying to make it work. And I was very good at it, by the way. I mean, I was really good at it. Because, you know, I have this whole thing. I can make dreams come true. You know, you want to be with me, I'll make your life wonderful. You know? if I let you in. But interestingly enough, the ones I let in were the ones that actually carried the same energies, the same kind of toxic mix as with Dad. It's a form of takeaway. It's, I'll give you so much, but I won't give you at all. You'll never get what you really need. So you're always in that state of longing, waiting. One day he'll get it if I'm just good enough. This is the earning love kind of thing.
Yeah, I was just thinking, it's that earning thing. I know what that's
like. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so paradoxical to me because I don't do this with anybody else. I am not interested in earning love from anybody. This is who I am. I am really clear about who I am. But I've been running this subconscious program, this drive, all these years, unable to recognize it, which is why I've stayed out of relationship. Because I absolutely, you know, to me it was like, okay, brain damage, can't go there. And it's fascinating, absolutely fascinating to me. And I know that there are going to be people out there listening to this thinking, oh, you poor thing, or, you know, how can you laugh about this when you've wasted your whole life? Well, I don't see anything as wasted, and I know that we also have the potential to live a very long life in this lifetime. So
it isn't really about that you don't live. It's that you live a certain way. You know, I look back at my life, I go, we live a certain way, and we want to hop out of that and into a whole different way. That's
right. Oh, absolutely.
Or you want to choose it instead of blindly following the belly.
Yes. Well, for all of us and for you men that are listening, the drive to, because we're going to do this anyway, all right? We're going to do, this comes with the territory, projecting dad onto husbands and mom onto mothers. This comes with the territory. It's a matter of how much we do and how conscious we are about the way we do it. And being able to see the difference so that we can allow our partners to be totally who they are instead of what we needed dad to be or mom to be to us. So that we're not trying to fulfill childhood needs, adolescent needs, through our partners or our children. Because those projections can go on to children as well. You know, everybody's got a history of failed relationships or toxic relationships. I don't think there's anybody on the planet that probably doesn't, except for maybe Rita and Andy, my dear friends. And, you know, I always hold them out as the idyllic, you know, husband and wife who are still crazy about one another after 40-something years. And adorable to boot. I mean, they're both very good-looking people, but they're just precious. But the Veronica, you've had toxic relationships, haven't you?
Oh, I have. Yeah.
I certainly know I'm not the only one. But if I am, I'll accept that.
Yes, I have.
Well, and, you know, and I certainly see this in working with people and power retrievals and, you know, histories of people, and I certainly understand it. What's so interesting is that I didn't get it. And, you know, it hit me that I was always looking over my shoulder when I was growing up. I was always looking over my shoulder for my father to show up. And with RM, I've been looking over my shoulder now for 16 years waiting for him to show up. I just figured he'd be, you know, oftentimes I'd swear I'd seen him and so on. And I'm thinking, how could I, with everything I know, be so completely, and I don't even want to say infantile, I mean absolutely emotionally immature enough. I mean, we're talking.
That's an unconsciousness. It's not just immaturity, is it?
No, but it's something like out of a movie, you know. it is this.
I remember when I was young, and I thought this was hilarious until I learned about creating a reality. But I used to say that, like, my dad is a wonderful man, but he's never there for you, you know, at all. And then
many
years later, I always loved this old limerick. When I was walking up a stair and met a man who wasn't there, he wasn't there again today. I wish the man would go away. And I laughed. I thought that was hilarious until I really started with metaphysics, and I went, dang, I've been saying that for a long time.
Well, and I think it's not that I didn't recognize the situation with my father, not that I didn't recognize the situation with my husband. I never put, and with RM as well, I never put the train together to join them all together. And the piece for me that I waited, because that's what I got as a child. I waited. And I am patient, which is an amazement to me. But I was willing to wait for love all my life. And I'm like, what? Now, at this stage of my life, this is a little late to be waiting for love. I mean, how silly is that?
But what, you know, I want to go back to this thing, and I know it's time for the team, but I just want to say this. Sometimes our need or what we learned from our parents isn't really love. Like, don't you find now that we're 100 years old that love is a whole different thing? I didn't know how to love.
Yes, now that we're 100, I absolutely know the difference.
But that word changes, doesn't it, as we go through phase
well,
after phase?
Well, we're so much more conscious about what we do. And this is, I mean, it's so paradoxical to me, is that, you know, I try to be so totally conscious with my kids and my dialogue and all these other things, and I have this huge chunk of my reality that I completely didn't see. At least I didn't tie it all together and see the irony of it. For me, is that it literally kept me, and I'm sure there's a purpose to this, that I needed to be kind of outside of a lot of things for the reasons that, you know, all the things I needed to do, and it's not like I'm beating myself up, and it's not like I'm whining about what happened. I am sharing it, however, because I really think that, again, very exaggerated situation, but how many people are in relationship today that are still having difficulties, okay? And it can be, you know, our relationship with an in-law, you know, male or female, where we're projecting stuff from husbands and wives onto them, where we're still working with these dynamics, and they can show up in such amazing ways to me, that my own life experience, I never expected to be loved because I lived in all the foster homes. My job was to earn love just to survive. And I basically did that all my life. That until now. I am not out there trying to earn love today. I do what I do. And it's so, you know, when I started this, it was so far out there that God knows I wasn't trying to earn love, because, you know, it was way out there. I could have done something that was a lot more, I don't know, a lot easier. It's wonderful now, but in the beginning, it certainly was very controversial.
What, earning love? Because you got married very young.
Oh, I got married. I was 16. No. I'm talking about earning love today. That is not my MO today.
No.
I'm not out there trying to earn love with people. That is not who I am today. But it was my pattern throughout my life. It's just that I never stepped out of it in love relationships. I never really, because I haven't had any real relationships in, I don't know how many years now.
But I want to just say this, Jackie, that I know a lot of, I don't maybe know big capital letters, but I seem to know a lot of couples that I really don't think do better than that. I think it's a pretty normal thing for people to be just following along the projections from their parents.
And Veronica, I would
like
agree with you.
Like tons of people, like more than 20.
more than 20. I see it. We both see it every day in the work that we do. There is no question about it. However.
But in the work we do, we're seeing the lifting, but I see a lot of people that wouldn't even consider lifting. They think that's...
No. And I'm with you there. Mm-hmm. They're so hooked into it that they don't know how to step out of it, and even if you told them, I don't know that they'd want to hear it.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't be able to hear it, probably.
No. However, for those of you that are listening to the show, we know that you want to make changes. So, well, what I think the point we're trying to make here is that if you have recurring issues in your current relationships, some people are leaving relationships and may find that the relationship they're in isn't a bad relationship. However, they brought into the relationship a lot of stuff from mom or dad and can't make it work for that reason, because they're waiting for their partner to give them what mom and dad wouldn't give them.
Is that what they brought in the big U-Haul?
Many times, yes. Or that porter out front with all the luggage, yes.
Hat boxes and everything.
That one.
Yeah.
So, And I think with the energies right now, people, a lot of people are reviewing relationships. Do I stay? Do I go? You know, I'm going to grow. My partner may not want to grow. You know, what have you brought into the relationship? Did you go into the relationship? Did you project onto your partner? Okay.
And what do I actually need? I think that's a big question for all of us because that's part of our evolutionary work too, isn't it?
It's not only need, but what do you prefer? You know, what do you, first of all, what makes you really happy? What makes you fulfilled? And, you know, when we're dealing with the toxic relationships, because what Eric Francis said, and, you know, I only took part of this out, but I just, it was, about someone that acts like him or her, not just your literal physical father, but acts like him or her mother or father, who stands in allegiance to people who are toxic to you.
I know, that was amazing.
And to me, that statement in and of itself was so incredibly powerful because I personally have found myself recreating in the past these toxic relationships because that's what I knew. And it was familiar, and therefore I just slipped right into them. Now, am I not conscious? I think I'm a pretty conscious person. Obviously, I'm not conscious when it comes to love. Obviously, there's my blind spot. And what this did for me was give me so much more confidence in stepping into any kind of a relationship today to be able to say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Instead of the idyllic someday this person will get it, someday I'll have the perfect relationship with this person, this fantasy person that I love and that I have all these fantasies projected onto, it's about being able to see people who they are, where they are today. What do they bring into your life today? What can the two of you grow with together today? You know, what do you have in common today? Are they open to spiritual growth? We all know today that without that, it's not going to happen. I've worked with somebody this week who, you know, has been in a relationship with somebody that is very spiritual, and they've decided to go their separate ways. And, you know, I didn't have the heart to tell them that in doing the sessions with them, I still feel the love between them. And the possibility for a lot more than what they're experiencing. But I could also feel the projections. And and they're doing a very conscious end of relationship. It's beautiful. They're going through counseling to end their relationship in a beautiful, loving way. And yet, energetically, I sense these projections that if the projections were off, they would be able to see each other clearly for the first time in many, many, many years and have a potential, a possibility of having an extraordinary life together.
And
maybe that's not what they choose.
Sometimes a serial relationship lead people to that too, don't they? I mean, because so many people feel they have to leave something in order to get to the growth, and you're saying they could do it in it. But
they can do it in it, and they both, again, here's a couple who are both very spiritual, very metaphysical, etc. They have the potential. They have the potential to work it out together if, in fact, that's what they chose. They may not choose. They may not choose. And I've had so much happen around relationship, as you know, hearing from my ex-husband and this lovely message I got from him, and lots of healing around relationships for me. It's been a very, very big year so far. And
wonderful.
Yes, it's really been wonderful. And I really hope for everybody, because I know a lot of people are in either relationship or marriages, and that as long as you're conscious, it doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. You made that point earlier, Veronica, and you're right on. You're not going to be perfect. This stuff will sneak up on you all the time. until you get so conscious that you're aware of it enough to really step out of the pattern of the drive to continue to recreate that, and out of the comfort zone of the toxic relationship. It's very interesting that and again, I stepped out of relationships altogether because I didn't want the toxic part anymore. I could deal with them at a distance, but not in my, you know. And as you know, I've had, you know, some people I've been involved with, but there was never any sex, which I think is very interesting. That way I didn't get hooked in. It was safe.
And I want to throw another little bit in here, is that I'm having a better relationship with my father.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
And I think that's impacting, I know it doesn't take care of all the projections because they've been, they're tidally stacked through the years, but this is taking some of the illusion off, if you know what I mean.
In your current relationship, you mean?
I think so, yeah. I think so. I'll have to check it out. I'll ask Bob.
Well, yes, I would. And
I think it has an impact that I'm better with my dad than I was.
I think it's wonderful.
And that he sees me better is probably helpful. His projections are better.
Of course, because when you take the projection off somebody else, they then can see you as well. It really, it's so amazing. And the energies are supporting this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Lifting up and out of the familial chain of pain, however it plays out, so that we can step out of the collective goo. You know, you always have all these cute little names for things, but that's really what it is. It is the glue that holds the collective together.
Yeah.
And when we can step out of that, our freedom is assured. Doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. Doesn't mean you're going to do it right every time. But from that step, from there to full empowerment, is not that far a leap. It really isn't. And that's what I'm so excited about for everybody. I mean, you know, I share, you know, a lot of personal things on this show that, you know, afterwards I think, ugh. Okay, I'm going to bring the team in just for a little bit here. I'm sorry we talked past. Well, we're not certain we need to come in tonight. We think you've done a very good job on this subject. All right. For all of you, becoming aware now of the way that you've held yourself back from having true happiness, joy, expansion, value. Or we could go on and on. So many of you are still working with deservability. That seems to be an ongoing issue. For those of you that have worked with a lot of your shadow things and shame. Oh, we know how much work all of you have done. We want to say, please don't feel bad about yourselves that you're not there. We hear from different people this fear of being left behind, that they don't have it all together. And we want to say to you that each one of you took on your variety of what you wanted to work on in this lifetime for yourself and others. Now, so you came in wired pretty heavily, didn't you, Veronica?
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Lots to work out.
Yes. Now, you know, many people will say, oh, it's your karma, you're there. We don't want to go there with you people, all right? Some of you had some things you wanted to clear up before you came to this extraordinary time. Especially around the harmonic convergence around 87. But since that timing, you've been operating more in free will than you possibly understand outside of all of these kinds of agreements that you and contracts that you set up prior to coming in. Now, this timing, this wonderful, magical timing, although it is disconcerting for all of you and keeps you kind of out of balance at times, lots of shake-ups to allow you to finally see things with more clarity. Without your damage coloring them. You're going to be able to see your children and your grandchildren and your friends, your spouses, your lovers, whatever, more clearly. To be able to honor yourself and see yourself more clearly. This, by far, the most important. Who am I really? What do I really want? What are my drives? What do I believe I deserve? And why doesn't it fit in with what I'm attracting? If not, that's when you want to sit down and figure it out. Oops, wait a minute. Something's wrong. I'm attracting this, but I say I want this. There's a disharmony between the two. That means I have some subconscious things going on. Some projections, imprints, drives that I'm not consciously accessing that are running the show. And at this stage, people, you don't want that happening. Because there's so much ahead of you. Yes, there are some times that are going to be challenging. We won't lie to you. But you can create magic and miracles, all of you. Now, healing your relationship with yourself, healing your relationship with God, healing your relationship with Goddess are paramount for the coming times. Forgiving yourself. Loving yourself, believing you deserve, and not just lip service, people. Not just lip service. The universe loves you. Everything you want is coming. Everything you've sent out desires for coming towards you. It's a matter of lining up. What stands in the way of your lining up are all of these other things that are going on. And you have incredible opportunities right now. You're all going to start having epiphanies. But look with clarity. Oh, I just lost my temper. Why did I lose my temper? My lover, my husband, my children, whatever. Why did I get angry? What did or didn't they do that I needed them to do? Where does that come from? Where did that expectation come from? What was the need? Or, what's my anger? Oh, damn, what they just reminded me of my dad or my mom. Be conscious, people, all the time. Really pay attention. Now, we know that this can make you crazy, and we don't mean to do that, but this is the time now to be absolutely clear about what you say, what you do, what your intentions are. Yes, you create your own reality. We know our channel is still working with that. Not that she doesn't know it. It's just this has been quite a week for her. And for all of you. You see, to be able to see in your lives something that isn't working properly and be able to accept, oh my gosh, this is because of this belief and that thing and whatever, and love yourself, nurture yourself through it instead of blaming yourself. Being excited that you've got it figured out, at least parts of it. And if you get a piece of the whole is the whole, contains the whole. You're not going to get it all perfect. But you're going to start doing it because it's time. You're here to have the life of your dreams. You're here to be inspirations, examples to many others. Very important. Karma is not running your life right now. Be clear with this. You have choice. You're on a planet of free will. What is it you really want to do? What's the most important thing to you? For many of you, it's your growth. That's number one.
And we're almost out of time.
All right. Veronica talked about your show, Stan.
Next Tuesday at 8:00, Paradigm Shifters presents Judith Kravitz, who teaches you how to use breathing and her breathing techniques to heal yourself. Should be pretty exciting. And next week will be Radiance at 7:00, just before you. And we've been talking about basically what you're talking about in a different way, creation, creating ourselves and subconscious blocks and so on. I'll probably continue with that.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Those shows sound very exciting.
Thank you.
All right. We'd love to work with all of you tonight. Now, if we don't come in tonight, come in tomorrow night, don't get too excited, but we're going to say tonight. There's sometimes our timing, not that we can't get to everybody, but sometimes energetically timing can shift that around for some reasons. We know we've had questions about this from some people. Your intent is all important. When you get into bed tonight, if you will ask, please help me to see, and call in your higher self and soul as well, and your spirit, together with us. I really want to see. I want to see where I have projections that are standing in the way of me having the life of my dreams. Subconscious beliefs, programs that are separating me from the joy and excitement I truly want to have in my life. Ask, and we will assist you. This is such a wonderful time, people, right now. Such an exciting time for all of you. For all of you. Now, you're moving into Mercury retrograde, and under this Mercury retrograde, you're going to have some time now to really process a lot of this. And we would recommend, through this Mercury retrograde, you keep a journal. Where am I projecting? Why do I get upset? What triggers me? What was the behavior, the comment, etc.? what is my longing? What have I put off in my life and why? Really examine. Did I get what I wanted from mom and dad? Are those relationships toxic? Am I still playing them out? We are happy to work with all of you if you call us in. We love each and every one of you so much. You are all honored for your willingness to work, to listen, to read, to listen to the shows, Veronica's shows. We know your hearts. We send to each and every one of you our total and complete unconditional love, and to you, Veronica, as well. As always, a joy for us to be present with you, to experience your energies. We thank you for that opportunity. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you so much.
Okay. We on?
Yes, still.
Okay. Good night, everybody. A piece of Veronica and I are in each and every one of you, and a piece of you are in Veronica and I. It can be no other way because we really are all one. We love you all so much. Ronnie, love you.
Mm-hmm.
Good night, everyone. Next week, next week I'll be working on the beginning of opening the portal and so on, so it will probably be a rerun next week. But I'll be back in 2 weeks. I love you all. Good night, everybody.
Love you. Good night, everyone.